Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. This week we'll be talking about some new features that Amazon is introducing into their Kindle readers and Fire tablets to make them much more accessible to those with visual impairments.
We'll speak with Peter Korn, accessibility architect at Amazon, about the work that went into developing an enhanced user interface and how it has improved accessibility of these products. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip relates to last week's episode describing the evolution of the technology behind screen readers from the early text-based systems to today's modern graphical interfaces. The tip is that it pays to be patient and keep looking if current access technology might be too expensive for you. Here's Peter Korn explaining how and why the price of access technology has come down as dramatically as it has over the past few decades.
Back in 89, Outspoken came out for $395, I believe, for Macintosh. And when we came out with it for Windows, it was $495. And of course, JAWS Professional is around $1,000. And at that time, these products were incredible products. They allowed folks to do things they couldn't otherwise do. It was a very wise investment, especially if it was made by your employer to keep a productive employee at their firm. But for folks who had little or no employment, who were retired, who were students, this was a significant barrier. And one of the things that the shift to programmatic accessibility and the shift to access features built into products has done has helped lower the price of access solutions. And I'm really proud of what we've been able to do at Amazon with the accessibility of our Fire tablets. We now sell the base Fire tablet, our 7-inch screen, for a list price of just under $50. And that comes with our VoiceView screen reader, that comes with the ability to read books and browse the web and go shopping and run hundreds and hundreds of apps, play music, all accessible with VoiceView. And that's a huge change compared to where we were in the 80s and 90s.
That is incredible.
So thank you very much to Peter Korn and everybody else who developed this technology and worked on bringing the price down so that people could actually buy it and use it.
Support for Eyes on Success is provided by
Mystic Access, providing assistive technology audio tutorials and trainings designed to empower and motivate. Products are created by the blind for the blind. More information available at mysticaccess.com, where the magic is in learning. Let's start by reintroducing Peter Korn from last week. And if you want to know more about his professional background, listen to last week's episode, number 1621.
My name is Peter Korn. I am an accessibility architect at Amazon, serving the device and content organizations. This is my 25th year in the field of accessibility. I got my start at Berkeley Systems, helping make pioneering screen access solutions for folks who are blind or visually impaired. Continued on at Sun Microsystems, where I helped develop some of the first programmatic access solutions and the Java and GNOME accessibility frameworks. Did a brief stint at Oracle en route to coming to Amazon, and I've been here for approaching 2.5 years now.
And for anybody who isn't familiar with the culture in California, that's a perfectly normal work progression. People often jump from company to company, and you've been with some of the best.
Well, thank you very much.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
This week's focus topic is the accessibility of Amazon products, including an exciting new announcement they're just making.
So nowadays you're at Amazon, and you've given us a pretty thorough history of your background in our previous episode. Can you tell us what your function is at Amazon and what your work involves there?
I joined Amazon in October of 2013 to help Amazon's devices group. This is our Lab 126 in Sunnyvale, where we invented the ebook, or I should say popularized the ebook with our Kindle e-reader, and then an incredible line of very affordable, very powerful tablets, the Fire tablets, our Fire TV, and now the Echo family of devices that are speech-forward, pioneering a really new way of interacting with devices. And I joined them in October of 2013 to help drive how we make all of our devices accessible to customers with any of a wide range of disabilities. And one of the first things I did was canvas what we were doing in our tablets and what we were doing for blind and visually impaired customers. And what I found is we were leveraging what Android had done with the TalkBack screen reader and the Android Accessibility API. We mated that to Amazon's award-winning speech interface, something that is perhaps more widely known to the Eyes on Success audience, the Evona text-to-speech engine that we acquired about a year prior to my joining Amazon. And we polished up the Fire OS interface. This was Fire OS 3 at the time, to make it better implement the accessibility framework from Android, make it more uniform. And we got good feedback from customers that it was among the best of the Android tablets from an accessibility point of view. But that was really faint praise.
Why do you say that?
We got a lot of complaints about the gestures, complaints about the earcons. The interface just wasn't intuitive. And after a fairly thorough analysis of these problems and also a collection of developer pain points, issues that our own developers were having trying to make Amazon's applications on our Fire tablets accessible, I led us in development of a brand new screen reader, VoiceView. And I reached out to my friend Mark Mulcahy, who I had worked with at Sun Microsystems when we brought accessibility to our Solaris environment and GNOME and Linux. And he joined and is leading our VoiceView screen reader effort for Fire OS.
So it sounds like from your description that you basically tried to modify TalkBack on the Android platform on which these products are built to work more seamlessly with some of the interfaces, but that wasn't the whole problem in fixing the experience for the user. How did a new screen reader overcome those challenges? It sounded like there were basically UI changes that had to be made.
So there are a number of key reasons why we felt the TalkBack code base was not well suited for what we wanted to do. First off, the way the Android Accessibility API works, the framework had a change to traverse everything. The framework decided on the traversal order. The framework emitted events, accessibility events, when a component was reached. And then the screen reader, the screen presenter, sent the text of the event to the speech synthesizer. Well, what it did is provide basic access. it didn't provide the screen reader to decide what's important. It didn't allow the screen reader to have much thought about how to most efficiently present what's on the screen.
You've been talking about both TalkBack and VoiceView. How do they differ?
So one of the big differences between TalkBack and VoiceView, VoiceView is not driven by accessibility events. VoiceView walks the entire user interface hierarchy. It uses that as its programmatic off-screen model. And VoiceView decides what should be rendered and how it should be rendered. For example, if you have a custom UI component that TalkBack doesn't know about, TalkBack knows about the stock UI components. It knows that a button is a Android button class. It knows that a checkbox is an Android checkbox class. But what if a developer, an Amazon developer, a developer at Facebook or Twitter, creates a custom component? TalkBack doesn't know about custom components because the Android accessibility framework doesn't define the idea of a role. So a screen reader can't ask a component, hey, what kind of thing are you? The screen reader, if it's TalkBack, only knows about Android's components. If you're not a stock Android component, TalkBack doesn't know that you're a button or a checkbox.
Right.
We have to stuff the word button or the word checkbox into the text of the component. It's not the text, it's the role. But in order to make it talk with TalkBack, you have to stuff that in, which means it's not possible in Braille to indicate a button more efficiently with non-Braille characters like Dr. Mealy's brackets.
And what benefit do you get from switching to the VoiceView model?
By moving to our own screen reader, by navigating in our own logical order that VoiceView does, VoiceView is in control. By moving away from letting the framework drive the events and having VoiceView take charge and decide how to navigate and when to go and when to stop, we were able to realize that user improvement.
Were you able to integrate VoiceView into the various Amazon products that customers might be using?
What we've done is we've integrated VoiceView directly into the Fire OS, into Fire operating system, into our current generation of tablets. And then we've also brought Fire OS, this latest release, Fire OS 5, to our previous year, our previous generation tablets. And so it's integrated into our devices, built into them. And then on top of that, we make sure that Amazon's applications, like the Kindle Reader application or the music application or the shopping application or web browser, all interoperate well with VoiceView. But we're not doing a lot special to tweak those apps to work with VoiceView. Rather, we are leveraging the accessibility framework to its fullest, and we are empowering VoiceView to do a lot more with that information than TalkBack does.
And what is the relationship between the accessibility engineering teams at Amazon and the product teams? How does that work?
We absolutely talk with all of the product teams. There are dozens of product teams that contribute to Fire OS, and there's important work to do with helping them understand how to properly use the accessibility framework, how to test for accessibility, checking on their work, auditing their work. We have a whole team that does all of that interoperability testing. But to date, we haven't had them do very much that's special or unique to VoiceView.
So we understand that Amazon recently made a very exciting announcement about accessibility in your tablets. Can you describe that to our listeners?
I would be delighted to. As I mentioned at the start of the podcast, first things I did when I joined Amazon in October of 2013 was understand the challenges of accessibility on our Fire tablets. But another thing I did is start talking with the Kindle e-reader team to look at what we could do to make our Kindle e-readers accessible. When e-readers first came out many years ago, there was tremendous interest by the blind community because with an e-book, there are accessibility possibilities that are really not available with print. You can make text very, very large if it's in an e-book, whereas large print books top out at about 18 point. And then there's the potential to have them talk, as we have done for many years with Kindle on iOS, Kindle on Android, Kindle on Fire tablets. But we also wanted to look at what we could do to bring it to the e-reader, to crack that challenging technical nut. And so soon after I joined, we began work on a full, rich, comprehensive accessibility framework for our e-readers. And then sitting on top of that framework, a screen reader, another written from scratch screen reader for the Kindle e-reader environment. And that's what we are just announcing now, VoiceView for Kindle. And VoiceView for Kindle comes with a companion piece of hardware, the Kindle audio adapter. Kindle e-readers, to make them as thin and light and long battery life as possible, just focus on drawing books, painting books in the graphical display of electronic ink. So we wanted to, on the one hand, maintain all of the things that make e-readers great, but at the same time, bring a screen reader to it so that our blind and visually impaired users could also use the simple UI of the e-reader versus the more complex, multifunction, multimedia tablet. And to do that, we developed a special piece of hardware called the Kindle audio adapter. You plug the audio adapter into your e-reader. You plug your headphones into the audio adapter. Immediately, VoiceView for Kindle launches, and you now have a screen reader.
Where does the power come from? Does that come from this magic cable, or does that come from the e-reader itself?
The e-reader battery itself powers the Kindle audio adapter, and we're able to get a little over 6 hours of continuous book reading, mm-hmm. powering the audio adapter. If you are not reading continuously, but you're navigating the UI, you'll get a little bit more battery life. If you've got the front light display on and some other things, you'll get a little less. But that's good enough to enjoy a book on a cross-country flight.
So if you're planning on listening to the book as produced this way, can you turn off the screen and save battery power?
Well, the funny thing is the screen takes almost no power, right? The only time the screen takes power is when it's updating the text on the page. So for the half minute that you are listening to a page, we're not taking any power to drive the screen. So turning off the screen would save precious little power. Turning off the front light, in the case of the Kindle Paperwhite or Kindle Voyage, absolutely would save power, and we do that automatically. But otherwise, the device is already on an incredible power diet, and it's the continuous speech that takes the bulk of the power from the battery.
How does the display work in such a way that it uses so little power?
Kindle e-readers, to make them as thin and light and long battery life as possible, just focus on drawing books, painting books in the graphical display of electronic ink. Electronic ink is a very special kind of graphical display that uses tiny capsules filled with magnetically charged pigment. And to make an image on an e-ink display, you send an electrical signal to repel the black pigment toward the far end of the cell and attract the white pigment to the near end of the cell so that you paint a black pixel on the display. And once you have sent this electrical charge and moved the pigment in the cell, the pigment stays there. You can remove the charge and you have essentially printed this text onto this electronic ink display. And then you need send no power to the display, and that image will stay on the display for seconds, minutes, hours, even years. We have e-ink displays with text on them here going back 10 years ago that have not received any power and still have the image on them. And so with e-readers, we're able to make an incredibly thin, incredibly light product with very, very small battery that's fabulous for reading and is also great in sunlight, whereas your typical LCD display, graphical color display, is shining light through the display into your eyes with a very glossy screen that is hard to read in bright sunlight. An e-ink display is reflective. The light bounces on the display and then onto your eyes, just like a printed page.
But this sounds like a great capability for the Kindle readers and the Fire OS, and presumably using this VoiceView screen reader, one uses the standard navigation commands to navigate through the book and read through the book.
Absolutely. In fact, we have brought the same simplified screen reading gestures to VoiceView on Fire OS and VoiceView on Kindle. One of the customer complaints that we received from customers when we were repackaging TalkBack on our tablets was how complex some of the gestures were. So we brought a simplified gesture set to Fire OS and that same basic gesture set to Kindle as well. So if you've learned VoiceView once, you know it for both Kindle e-readers and Fire tablets. And in both cases, we have a pretty extensive tutorial that launches the first time you open up the screen reader and is available for you to run again at any time. And the tutorial is broken up into multiple different lessons. So you can just repeat, for example, the advanced gestures lesson or one of the basic lessons. Anytime you want to brush up on how the screen reader works, it's available to you from the screen reader settings control panel.
And for someone who may have missed the tutorial the first time around, how can they bring that up?
You simply bring up the screen reader settings, which is slightly different on the two platforms where you get to it. Once you've brought that up, there's a choice in that window for a VoiceView tutorial. Choose that and you'll get a list of the different lessons. Choose the lesson you want to review and off you go.
Great.
And there's no test, so no one's graded for how well they do with the lesson.
That's the best part, huh? Well, that has to be exciting for you to be able to be a contributor to that project too.
It's really exciting. And you know, one of the things that, just sort of to close, I like to say that I'm not making products for people with disabilities, I'm making products with people with disabilities.
Now for this week's final item, how to learn more, including how to reach the accessibility team at Amazon and how to buy a new accessible Amazon device or upgrade your old ones. So we have a friend who has a physical Kindle tablet and her vision is failing. Can she download and update to her existing tablet, or is this only on new tablets?
It depends how recently she bought her tablet. The latest generations of Paperwhite, the latest generations Kindle Voyage, both of these have what's necessary to support the screen reader. We need a little bit more memory to fit the wonderful award-winning voices in, and the earlier generations of Kindle e-readers didn't have enough memory to take Ivona.
Mm-hmm.
So if she has that, she can contact customer support, and they can walk her through the process of downloading the latest voices and the latest version of the OS, and off she goes. And certainly you can order a new one from us. We have a special bundle. We call it the Kindle Blind and Visually Impaired Readers Bundle, which contains a Kindle Paperwhite, the Kindle audio adapter, all together in one package, ready to go.
So if people want to find out more before purchasing one of these, where can they go?
The webpage to go for this is www.amazon.com/Kindle accessibility, all one word. And that's the webpage that describes all of the accessibility features in our Kindle e-readers. Another thing that we've just released is the Open Dyslexic font, a font from the open source community developed by folks with dyslexia to make reading more efficient and productive for them. So amazon.com/Kindle accessibility is your one-stop source for all Kindle accessibility features. Then there's the companion page, amazon.com/Fire accessibility, and that will give you all of the information about the accessibility features on Fire OS and our Fire tablets.
And if people want to ask questions, how would they do that?
The email address for information about the accessibility of our devices is device-accessibility@amazon.com.
And what support options are available to people?
All of our customers have the same level of support. We have support via email, support via customer service at 888-280-4331. And, of course, we have our return policy for all of our devices if something isn't working out.
And as usual, you can find all of that contact information in an easily accessible format in our show notes for this episode at www.eyesonsuccess.net.
That's it for show number 1622. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about the college experience. We first had Rebecca on Eyes on Success in one of our earliest episodes when she was in 11th grade discussing what it was like for a visually impaired student in high school. Well, she just graduated from college and will be reflecting on what college was like for a visually impaired student and what kind of decision factors went into her selecting where to go for graduate school. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-210-8094.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. Browse the full archive of programs, find instructions for subscribing to the podcasts, and much more at www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also find us on iTunes, follow us on Facebook and on audioboom.com, at Eyes on Success, or Twitter at @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success and have a nice day.